Would you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians 15. I've never preached through either 1 or 2 Corinthians. But we come to one of the most key chapters leading into the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. We read 1 Corinthians regularly each month with the communion passage. But this passage here in Corinthians is an amazing passage, and it's got so many high points concerning resurrection and things along that line. When we come to chapter 15, verse 50, and follow along as I read this morning. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So you think about that. That's a high point. That's something exciting. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about these great theological things that when we get a grip on it, we're like floored. And this is a passage of Scripture that most of the time when I'm reading it, I'm reading it at a graveside. People want hope. They want to hear the hope. And so we focus people's attention and our attention on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ because of what He accomplished. But let's look at the passage today, what we're going to be talking about today. Then what does he say? Look at this. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection, please enjoy that. Please enjoy the humor of that. When you think about the great theological truths that he just got, it was like there's a crescendo, the cymbals are playing, there's just an amazing thing. And then he goes, now concerning the collection. And really, Paul? Really? He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. If you came today and you go, you mean the one Sunday that I came to Grace, you're talking about giving? Martha, why did we come this morning? You know, I want you to know, as I've looked at my records, and I've been at most of my sermons, all right, almost 15 years of preaching, this is the second time giving has come up. Okay, so in case you're like, is this all these guys do? And I'm not one of those televangelists because I don't have the bad haircut and other stuff that goes with them. But last week I was going to preach on Matthew 6, 1 through 4, and I want to look at this with you. I did put it on a podcast, so if you want to listen to it, but look at this at Matthew 6, 1 through 4. This is some of the principles that he wanted to get across when it came to giving. And this is right smack dab in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus Christ is putting before his followers, this is what my calling to you is. This is, I want your life to be real. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. So it seems to be, Calvin believed this, that there was, if somebody gave, and by the amount they gave, there would be a trumpet sound. And he's saying, I don't want that to be the reality when it comes to your giving. I want you to do it in this way. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. So the person that would be looking for that kind of adoration when it comes to their giving, he's saying, they got their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And so the idea of that is that it would be so part of you, as you're being so appreciative of what God's done for you, when there's somebody that's needy, and you and I need to remember who truly is needy, and sometimes that's a hard thing to figure out nowadays. Everybody seems to be needy. And I like how John MacArthur puts it. He goes, make sure that you're not giving to healthy beggars. And his point on that was that there is also a verse in the book in Thessalonians that talks about the fact that if a person doesn't work, they shouldn't be able to eat. Part of somebody being healthy and able to do work, there's something to that, that they would be able to work and get the food. So he's talking, when he's talking about somebody that's needy, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, almost to the point where, and most of us are right-handed, I know there's some other people that aren't, but most of us are right-handed, and he's saying that's usually the hand that we're doing stuff with, that it gets to the point where we're so grateful for what God has done that we would give in such a way that as quickly as we would have that kind of heart that we would give to somebody that is needy, that we do it in such a way that this hand over here wouldn't even know that that is happening. It would happen so quick because that's our heart. And by that, we're not able to applaud ourselves because it's really hard to applaud with one hand, okay? So he's saying, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But as the context was starting there in that first verse, he's saying when you give. So it is assumed that believers give. They have that kind of heart. And the beauty of this is we had offering earlier. There's not going to be any pressure. I'm not going to have a video with me sitting in mud and a fly landing on my lip and you, we ought to give to that guy, you know, this emotional tug. And just by the giving that ended up our year, that showed something. But maybe some of you have never heard the principles that God talks about when it talks about giving in the area of the blessing that we get, that God's called us to. That's an act of worship, that it's a way of saying to God, I see what you have done and I want to give. And something that I will say today and I will repeat because it's something that needs to be remembered, and that is this. If you have a problem, I've had different people, you know, I counseled bunches of different people, and there are people that own up about their problems with me. And there have been people that at times have mentioned different things that they struggle with. There are people that have been honest enough to say to me, man, I think I love money too much. I think I love money too much. And they're honest about that, and I appreciate that. And do you know one of the things that solves that is generosity. And God put that in His Word. He said, if you and I have a problem with greed, if we have a problem with loving money too much, if you wonder, I wonder, do I love money too much? Do you give? Oh, man, that's hard. Mm-hmm. But that is something that would help with that. And so think about that. Well, let's look at these verses together once again. Look at verse 1 again with me. Actually, I want you to wrap up here from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And this is a huge thing, and you do know, I don't know if I may have mentioned this before, Jesus talks. There's a priority list of what Jesus talks about. Number one thing that Jesus talks about is the kingdom of God The second thing is money. And here's why. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If I were to, and I'm not doing this, and if you were to do this for me, be the same thing. If I were to look at your checkbook, and some of you are like, a check? What is a check? All right. Or your debit listing, or your credit listing, and we were to look at what was purchased in each of our lives, that would say a lot about what we treasure. Because what I spend money on is important to me. And so God is constantly trying to make us aware, hey, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Well, look at verse 1 again with me of chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. These words, I directed, this is the language of authority. Paul is not suggesting an offering. He is directing it. And this is what this looked like. In fact, later when the word collection is used in different Pauline letters, he combines it with the word koinonia. Have you ever heard koinonia before? It's a word that means fellowship. And now he puts those things together and he says, if I have a heart toward giving, I have fellowship with people. And I don't know if you've had opportunity where somebody had a need. Have you ever had this where somebody had a need and you were able to meet that? Have you ever had that happen? Somebody comes to you, I don't know how this happened for you, but somebody says they need something and you've given to them. And you've either met that need or you've met part of that need. Have you ever seen their response? You ever seen that? I've seen tears at times. I've had tears when somebody met a need for me. And it was I had fellowship with that person in a deep way because they saw my need, they reached into their pocket, and they met that need. Some do that anonymously in the mailbox. They'll give a gift. Some have done it knowing that there's something that needs to be done and taken the initiative and done that. And it's humbling, but it's a beautiful thing to watch. Point number one, talking about this. The offering is to be systematically given. Look at the first part of verse 2. On the first day of every week. This offering was to be given on the first day of every week. Every week, the believer was to think in terms of God with his paycheck. Now, some of you may be sitting here going, oh, I can't do it. You don't know. I get paid every 2 weeks. I get paid twice a month. I get paid whatever, however that plays out for you. I don't know how some of you have your sports contracts. There's millions of dollars involved and stuff. You may get paid lump sums. I don't know how it plays out for you. But the reason that I believe that he picked this weekly thing is not for us to be dogmatic in that way. If that's something you want to do, amen. But it's his way of saying, as the week begins, as I focus my attention on God in worship, in singing, in prayer, and all those things, as the week begins, also when it comes to money, what does that look like for me? What does money look like for me? And priorities and how I things that I value and things. And he's saying, I want you to think about that because in everything I want glory in your life. In every aspect of your life I want glory. And so we stop and we look at what he's done. And we don't look at it in such a way that we go, I'll pay this, I'll pay this, I'll pay this. And then if I got this left, then I might, instead, I look at the whole thing and I go, wow, God, you've blessed me. Now what? And it makes me talk to him even about money and even about purchases. It makes us stop and reflect because he wants our hearts. And he goes, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So it's a systematic thing. It's a thought out thing. It's not, there is the every now and then the spontaneous where not my left hand doesn't know what my right hand is doing. But when it comes to the biblical pattern in Scripture concerning giving, I'm thinking about money. I'm thinking about, where am I at with that? What are my priorities? What do I spend money on? Point number two. The offering is to be individually given. He says there in verse 2, on the first day of every week, each of you. The words each of you indicate no one is exempt. Every believer is responsible and accountable. I can't think to myself and go, you know what? I work here. I'm doing God's stuff all the time. You know me. I'm real spiritual. Yeah. Yeah, you chuckle. I wonder why. I could, and I've met people in ministry that rationalize that. That said, well, because I do this and I do this, I don't have to give. It's not in the Bible. In fact, when it talks about stewardship, we're talking about one aspect. There's time, our stewardship of our time. What do I do with my time? And so there might be people that would go, well, I give time to the church. I do a lot of stuff at church. So does a lot of people. Or talents. There's time and then there's talents. And I've got different talents that I use for the Lord and things. That's my way of giving. That's how I give. That's great. But there's also treasures. And so he says, I want you to realize that your time is for my glory, your talents are for my glory, and your treasure is for my glory. And it really makes us stop and think, and we're all responsible that our treasure is God's, and our time is God's, and our talents are God's. Point number three, the offering is to be systematically stored. But there he says, each of you is to put something aside and store it up. These words, put something aside and store it up, refers to the fact that each person was to systematically take some money and personally set it aside and save it for that offering. It's thought through. It's thought out. When I was growing up, we had different ways of doing this. I remember getting that dime put in my hand and making my way to Sunday school class. And we had, I don't know if you knew this, but in the church that I grew up, they took offering like all the time. Did anybody grow up in a church like that? It was all the time. Sunday school class. Hey, we're having a picnic. Let's take an offering. Why don't we just take an offering? It's a picnic. But they were Baptists, so that's what we did, all right? That's one of the Baptist distinctives, offering. It's not, there's an O. I don't know how they found that in the acrostic, but they did. Anyways, that would go on. But the thing that crossed my mind with it, and we even had this little church bank. And they'd pass around, you'd put your money in it, and you just felt so spiritual because it was in that little church bank. But it made me realize as a kid, this is important. And we've gotten away from that. That to think, this is a value. And as young people grow older, many times it's never been talked about, it's never been thought about, and they grow older and it never crosses their mind. And someday, they're really in charge of their money. Because a lot of times, when I got that dime, I got that dime. It wasn't my dime. I was tempted to spend it on something later. Boy, did I get the guilt trip on that one. You better not do that. But that wasn't my money, but the day comes where it is. And what do I do? Where is my heart? And so to set that aside and to say, I'm going to systematically store that and I'm going to give. Point number four, the offering is to be proportionately given. He says, set something aside, put something aside and store it up as he may prosper. No number given, but it's all about the prospering. I'll tell you, a tithe, and if you don't know what a tithe is, it's a tenth. A tithe is a great place to start. It was actually expected of the Jew in the Old Testament. In fact, in the Jewish system, if they did not give a tithe, it was looked at as robbery toward God. And there was actually an extension of that led into the taxes for the Jew. And then they had taxes when the Romans took over. They had the taxes above that. And so all of those things became something that was a burden to them. But for us, he says, as he may prosper. And so in this age of grace, he's wanting to know, where's your heart when it comes to giving? Tithe, a great place to start. Where's your heart? And the beauty of it is, I don't know what you give. I don't know. There's not one of you that's gone, the reason I'm going to spend a lot of time with that person is they give a lot of money. I don't know. It's the beauty of this whole thing. But God knows. And God knows my giving. And God knows each of our hearts. And so he's saying, proportionally, as God has prospered you, where is your heart with giving? And if this is a hard message for you, that's a whole other thing to be thinking about. Because each time when this kind of thing hits me, Moses, when we were praying as elders to talk about this, and the elders said to me, this is something that needs to be talked about, because there's many that are growing up that have never heard preaching on giving. They just haven't heard anything. And so that's why this is being presented to you as a way of teaching. But as we think about it, and as we focus our attention on this, sometimes it's one of those things where we hear these words and it's really hard to hear. And so as I was preparing these messages, Moses had given me a series on giving by this pastor, and I started listening to it. And I was convicted. It hit me. And I could look and say, yeah, but I give here. And I said, but where's my heart? And that's something that the Lord's been working on, because I could say, I've got this all figured out. I've got this all taken care of. And whenever the Word of God hits me in any area and I start to push back, why am I pushing back? Why am I responding that way? Could it be that God's trying to get my attention on that? And a lot of different things. If somebody's confronted me about gossip, it's like right away, oh man, you're sick. And right away I react. Why am I reacting? Because maybe I'm gossiping. And I could fill in whatever blank. And so as we look into the Word here, and as we work through this together, think about, has he prospered you? And I think he has. He has blessed us. And you look at what he's done in our church and through our church, and what we continually will see him do as we are obedient to him. Last point. The offering is to be temporarily saved. Look at that last part in verse 2. So that there, he says, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So this was an offering that was set aside to help the Jewish believers that were in Jerusalem. This is a church in Corinth, and they're thinking beyond just their church. And we've done that before, whether it be a time where a tornado hits Joplin, and a group of guys and girls went and helped, but also we gave so that they could, the churches there could help. And we've had that in other situations that we've given. And so this is a church that was set aside in Corinth to help an offering that was set aside in Corinth to help the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. So this offering was set aside till Paul got there. And all this showed how much thought had gone into it. And so this morning, as we're wrapping up, I'd like you to focus your attention. Think about, what is God trying to teach me concerning my heart, concerning treasure, concerning my giving? Let's pray.